Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Michael Hepworth is with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, a good friend. He's the president of the Results Exchange. He's known as the Street Smart Marketer, which is good news for you and me because we need that kind of help, don't we? We need some street smart marketing help, don't we? And he's also the author of the book, The Street Smart Marketer. He's our good friend, as I said, and our neighbor in Canada. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning, everybody.
It's good to have you back. And what do you got for us today? You got some reasons why people don't buy?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me why people don't buy. They think they've got good products and so on. And I've been looking at this for a while, and I believe there are only three reasons why people won't buy from you.
Three reasons.
One is... They don't want to understand what you're selling. The second is they can't afford what you're selling.
Yeah.
And the third is they don't believe you. Those are the only three reasons.
I kept thinking about that book that that woman wrote to help women understand why some men don't want to, leave them, don't make a commitment. And the title of the book is He's Just Not That Into You.
Sometimes our
prospects, we can't call them customers because they haven't given us money yet, but sometimes our prospects are just not that into us.
Well, that's right. And in fact, you hit the nail on the head. The first two issues, if they don't want to understand and they can't afford, you've got a targeting problem. And that's actually quite common.
And that's not their fault. That's your fault.
That's your fault. Absolutely your fault. You should not be targeting people who don't want what you want, what you're selling, or can't afford what you're selling.
And Michael, that is probably the most egregious error, the most fatal mistake that small business owners make. They look at the phone book, and they think the phone book is their prospect list.
Big mistake.
Huge. It's fatal.
You can't afford to market to the market. You can only afford to market to a little segment if you're a small business. And you've got to figure out where that segment is. It's like having a restaurant and thinking that, your chicken recipe or your location is important. The most important thing is having a hungry crowd.
Right.
But most people miss that particular point. But the final point actually is the one that actually is one that they can do something about, and that's the issue of not believing you. Because if you're talking to the right people and they... are not buying from you. The question is, are you telling them the right things? Because people buy what they need, not what they want. Sorry, they don't buy what they need; they buy what they want.
That's right.
And if we can figure out what people want, then they should buy it. If they're not, and they don't believe you, then you've got about six or seven things that you can do to help them believe you. And that's really where I think we should probably focus most of our time this morning.
Well, and you hit it on the head, and it's something I've been talking about for a long time. The difference between what they need and what they want. Mm. They don't shop for what they need because they know where it is. It's a commodity. They just go get it.
Well, they know
what it costs. But what they want, as I've said many times, Michael, I believe what they want is anywhere from a little bit more to everything. And that's what's special. That's what they'll pay more for. And in my opinion, that's where small business owners will make their living.
Well,
not giving people what they need.
I think it actually goes a little deeper than that. And I think we're probably saying the same things, although I'm probably saying it a little differently. And that is that, let's take for an example, if I say I'm an accountant and I say, does anybody want to hire an accountant? There's probably 3 or 4% of people out there who've got a small business who need an accountant. But not many people are going to be interested because we've all kind of got accountants. We're already established. But if I said to you, how many people want to pay less tax? All of a sudden, we've got a very different situation. It's the same person, but it's the way you position yourself, and it's what you offer. You're offering people what they want, not what they need. They may need an accountant, but they want to pay less tax.
There you go. You're exactly right. We are saying the same thing because what you've got to do is you've got to get to that thing because what you just said, is that, you know, yeah, people need an accountant, but they want somebody to help them with their taxes. And then that's what I mean when I say anywhere from a little bit more to everything.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Depending on who you're talking to.
Correct.
So you're exactly right. So what do we do about this?
Well, I think the thing, obviously, is first of all, is targeting, making sure that you target accurately, and making sure that you've got clients that or prospects that can buy and actually want what you're selling.
Can you give us a targeting tip?
Well, I think the first thing is to look at your current business and look where about 70% of your revenue is coming from. And
what are those people? What do those people look like, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably you're doing 70 to 80% of your revenue with a certain type of customer. That means that you're probably targeting those people fairly effectively. The question then is, where do you find more of those people? Who already knows those people? If you can find out who already knows those people, so for example, you know, there may be a magazine that targets people that do those particular things, or there may be a website that targets those people who do those particular things, then it's easy. So for example, one of my clients sells gym equipment, and they've discovered that their clients exercise from home. That's why they buy gym equipment. So there's no point in going to gyms to promote your business. They promote their business with pharmacies, for example, because the people who exercise from home buy other things from the pharmacies. And their whole website is dedicated to, you know, people who exercise from home and home gym equipment. So they've got a very different view. They don't sell to everybody who exercises. They don't sell to athletes. They don't sell to, you know, people who are recovering from, you know, some sort of trauma who need accidents or anything like that. So I think it is a relatively simple thing once you begin to realize where your business is coming from. So it starts internally, funnily enough, where I think most people think that it starts externally.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest problem that I think people have is they think by going wide, they're actually increasing their opportunity. What's happening actually is they're decreasing their opportunity. They need to focus narrowly so that they can focus on a market that they can really serve.
Right. Yeah, and that's the problem. The focusing, identifying, and see what we've got to help them do, Michael, to get them to do what you just said successfully. We've got to make them believe that they don't have to have the world to be successful.
Well, the world will make you broke.
Yeah,
that's the problem. You cannot afford to market to the market. The market is simply too big. So you need to focus on a particular niche.
Well, small business owners have to love their customers, and we don't have time to love everybody, folks. Just those people who want what we have and who are into us. That's what we want. We want customers who are definitely into us. Quick break, 20 after. We're going to be right back with Michael Hepworth. He's the author of The Street Smart Marketer, 11 low-cost keys that unlock the secrets to rapid growth in your business.
Jim, this is Joan Pride with the Kiplinger Editors. Has it really been 10 years? I guess it only feels like 20. Anyway, happy anniversary.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for... I know what you're doing, and I know where you're hanging around. We got Michael Hepworth here. Why would you not want to hang out with Michael Hepworth, this cool guy from Canada, telling us about how to make sure we get... how to help us get more business, keep our customers, make them happy, and help them buy more from us and more profitable things from us. And Michael's the best at that. Michael, give us your website, please.
It is streetsmartmarketer.com, all one word, streetsmartmarketer.com.
All right, and they can find your book there, right?
They can, actually, they can't buy my book on the website. It's available in all the bookstores. It's available at Amazon.
But they can find out more about it on your website, though.
Mm-hmm. There is some information on
and
there.
And can they link to where they can buy it from your website?
I'm not 100% sure whether there is a link on the website or not.
Well, we got to get that done, Michael. We got to make that happen.
It's been so widely available in the bookstores that I haven't really bothered to do that, which is probably not the smartest thing to do.
Well, we're going to have to work on that. So The Street Smart Marketer, folks, that's the book, and put a .com on it, and that's the website. Okay, we're talking about the three reasons why people don't buy from you and what we can do about it. The first one is they either can't afford it or they don't know about you. Is that the first one?
Those are the two. The third one is they don't believe you, which is where I'd like to focus a little bit of time now, because I think this is an important one. And it's not that people think you're lying. It's just simply that often we make statements or claims about our products that don't really get people to say, okay, I accept what this person is telling me. I really believe this. I've got to go and get this product. So
can we say it this way? Instead of saying, or in addition to saying they don't believe you, can we say what you're telling them is just not that compelling?
Well, that's also true, yes. Yeah.
Because that way people, I mean, because if you say they don't believe you, then it sort of sounds like, you know, they think you're lying, which that does not might not necessarily be the case.
Absolutely not the case in many cases. Many cases, you're absolutely right. It's simply that what you're saying is just not that convincing.
Right. We got to get a better message is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
All right. So what does that message need to sound like?
Well, let me tell you that there are 9 things that I think you can do. First of all, and I'll go through them quickly, and then we can deal with any of the ones that you want to spend a little bit more time on. The first one is you need to teach your prospects how to buy. So it's an educational process.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is to tell the truth and to be sincere. The third is to use specifics in your marketing communications. The fourth is to reverse the risk or provide free samples of what it is that you do. The fifth is to provide testimonials. The sixth is to establish yourself as an authority. And the seventh is to write editorial or articles. The eighth is to tell prospects why you're doing what you're doing. And number 9 is to point out non-fatal flaws.
Hmm.
And those are all things that you can do without very much cost, but have a huge impact on whether people believe what you're telling them or not.
And that free sample in the middle there that you mentioned could also be just a demonstration.
Yes, it can be. It can be very, very simple. And it can be, for example, if you sell information products, you know, it could be something like a free teleseminar, or it could be a free report that you send out, or something like that. It doesn't have to be anything that really costs you very much money.
We have a friend who has an art dealership, an art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses the puppy dog clothes.
Yeah.
He sends it home with you. He sends it home with you.
Yeah.
Remember the puppy dog clothes where you know you send them home with you know with whatever let them use whatever that you want them to buy, and you know once they get it home they're not bringing it back.
Absolutely, and that's one of the oldest marketing ploys in the world. But it's the same principle. Once you've experienced it, then you want it. That's mm-hmm. really the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the ones that I like actually is pointing out non-fatal flaws, because that can be very, very useful, because almost every product or service has some little thing that could be a problem. And
right.
if you point that out to your clients, often they're things that they will overlook, particularly if you're going to give them a discount.
Well, why would I bring up a flaw?
Well, let me give you an example of one that I think is perfect. There's a chain of mattress stores in Canada called Sleep Country Canada. They're the biggest mattress chain in the country. And every year, they have what they call their mix and match sale. And what they have is they have box springs and mattresses that don't match from a color point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it really doesn't matter when you've got the bed made up. You can't even
right.
see what the color is. So they, every year, say, well, we've got these mattresses and box springs that don't match. Come in at this time of the year, you'll get a special discount. And what they do is they obviously have a few themselves from mattresses and box springs that have been sold, but they buy up from the manufacturers.
Right.
And they mix and match on purpose
right.
so that they can give a discount.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact it creates a huge amount of business for them.
Right.
Because people think they're getting a bargain because there's this little problem that really doesn't matter anyway. Scratch and dent sales are the same kind of thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've even heard of retailers banging on washing machines and dryers with a hammer
right.
so they can give a little discount because it's
right.
got a little, you know, a little chip out of it or something like that. So
right.
that kind of thing is very, very effective. And we can do that on almost any business. There's some little non-fatal flaw that we've got that
right.
we can do, which
can
works
we get,
very well.
Where can we get that list of 9 things, Michael?
If anybody sends me an email to michael@streetsmartmarketer, I will send them an email with those 9 things.
Streetsmartmarketer.com, all right.
Yep.
Hey, Michael, I got to wrap it up. Thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Okay, Jim, thanks a lot.
It's always a pleasure. Michael Hepworth, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back, I promise. I will be, too, after these messages, 29 after... Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.